Hello?
James, you're
Hello?
muted.
Sorry about that, chatting away to myself. Thank you, Susan. So that brings us back to Chris.
Thank you, James. So first of all, I want to point out that I know that you're using the old central services formula. I can tell by the outrageous number that you're showing there,
Yeah.
which is basically a third of your revenues. The formula was actually revised, and that actually passed this committee and passed the PNB, but for some reason, nobody seems to know that. So the new number as of now, although this is certainly under discussion right now, I won't argue that point, is 15% of revenues. If you take 15% of revenues, that's 75,000, which is basically 70,000 less than you're showing there. And
okay.
I believe that puts you back in the green. So I don't think this is actually a deficit budget if you include the new central formula. Setting that aside, I have a question about line 43. That appears to be a credit. And I don't understand what that credit is for.
That is supposed to be a payment, a repayment to the National Office for the transmitter loan.
Okay. Is that's going as a credit? Why is, I'm sorry, I'm confused as to why that's a credit.
It's, why is it being shown as a repayment to the P&O?
No, no. Why is it showing as a credit? That's my question.
Well, because that is going to be okay. So if I, you're right.
I'm not understanding it correctly.
You're right. You're right. And this budget has been getting passed for year after year, just like that. So then actually, yeah, okay. It should be a little bit more in the negative, but then if we get the $70,000 break on central service, then we balance.
Yeah, exactly. So I think either way, this budget looks pretty good, but that's definitely one of those weird anomalies in this budget. So, okay, thank you.
Chris, that thing, I've been hearing about the central services thing, but no one would ever confirm it. And I would ask NEDA about it, and they wouldn't. They say, no, just no, it's still leave it the same. And I was like, but I keep hearing otherwise.
Yeah, if you'll forgive me for saying so, I'm sure that they were saying that because, you know, NEDA has been in a negative cash position for quite a while. And this has been in a negative cash position for just fairly recently, maybe the last year. And so it was disadvantageous. They had an active interest in preserving the capital influx to that particular division of the corporation. But it was actually passed here and by the PNB. So, yeah, I mean, I'm every time one of these numbers comes up in a budget, I'm kind of auto-correcting it. But it would be nice if it were just known throughout the organization, and I'm sure it will be shortly. It's the next item up. In fact, it comes up every week at the NFC at this juncture. So thanks.
Okay.
Chris, it's my understanding that that formula was actually changed twice since the one that the KPFT is using here. Does that sound right to you?
Well,
I know we changed it once, but I was told by NEDA that it had been, maybe not NEDA, I was told that it was changed once before, prior to the time that I was here when we did it.
I don't believe so. I think it had been 10 years since it had been revised the previous time. But yeah, when we get to that question of the formula again, we can talk about it again.
Fair enough. Okay. Thank you, Chris. You want to be back on the stack or are you done now? for now.
I'm done. I have a general question about the corporation, and since Markeisha could answer that question, I would like to ask it, but it can wait until after the budget discussion.
All right. Why don't you come back? All right. Good enough.
Yeah. If she sticks around long enough, I'll ask at the end of the her session. Thanks.
Okay, that brings us to Kim, and I'll see if there's any more people for the stack, and if there are, we'll go there, and if not, you can ask your question. So let's go to Kim now.
I don't really have any more questions. I will only say that the reason that this formula for central services has never been acted on is because there hasn't been a national office budget in so many years. So we need the national office budget in order to, you know, do the split. So, but that's it.
I appreciate that, but I would have thought that stations would have been jumping all over a chance to lower their central services by adopting the new formula, but apparently they never were informed of it.
There haven't been any approved budgets in like 6 years, Jim, or 7 years.
So it was my understanding prior to last year, there weren't any for 4 years, but I'm ready to be corrected.
Either way, it's been a very, very long time.
Yeah, right.
We had a P&O budget last year, and that's, you know, that came right after the formula. So anyway,
I never saw the P&O budget.
Yeah, it was it was 1.44 million, I believe. Anyway, you can look into it.
Yeah, we'll look into it. Let's not go into it any further now. So you don't have any more. Is there anybody else who has any other questions, any other comments on this budget?
Arpal?
Sorry, yeah.
Go ahead, Arpal.
Okay.
Arpal.
Yes.
Arpal, Susan. Did I hear Beth? I did not. Okay.
Okay.
Who was that?
That was McFadden.
Who was that last person? McFadden. Got you back. Got it. Go ahead, Arpal. Sorry.
Okay. One, you did say that you had a template that everybody was supposed to be using. I haven't been seeing a template everybody's been using. I've been asking that we have one for years, but I'm unaware that Pacifica actually put out a template for all of the stations to use. Is this something brand new or what?
No, it's been around. It goes back to the Efren days because he created it. It's got about 20 plus tabs in it.
Okay, so you're
so typically
so you're using the old one.
No, I've only the part that's shared with the local station board is only the front page because we don't typically share salaries and stuff like that. And then most of the time people don't look at it anyway. So I can share that at the national level because I obviously know what it is that you're looking at. But usually at the local level, it just confuses people.
Okay.
Because you know there's the fund drive spreadsheet, there's premium spreadsheet, there's health and benefits, salaries, payroll taxes.
Yes.
It's all kinds of different spreadsheets in there. So. Then I have to take certain ones out because they're not, you know, supposed to be shared.
Okay. Yes, that's how we've had it in the past. But for the past, I don't know, some bit of years here, we've had all sorts of things. We have people submitting their budgets as a one-page PDF, you know, pictures of things. And so – I mean, I know we used to have a standard budget. In fact, we've had two versions of the standard template, and mm-hmm. nobody's been using it for quite a while. So I was curious to see if you if somebody had suddenly put out a new one, but you're saying, no, this is the old one still. Okay.
This is the old one, and this is just the front sheet extracted from
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah. I think NFC was supposed to get the whole thing, but who knows how things go these days. Okay, and also you're saying we can do 10% over assuming 10% better than last year, and that's also an old thing we didn't have. As I recall, at some point it's changed back and forth. It's gone back and forth so much, but I'm not aware that the current requirement is that 10% better than proven from last year. So, I mean, it's okay by me, but all right. So I think what's happening here is you're using some of the older stuff as opposed to what we've been seeing lately, and maybe we can get everybody to use maybe even the old template. I don't know. With the savings we talked about earlier, this means that you are not, in fact, looking at a deficit budget, I think, right?
That's correct.
Okay. So now I've lost my bottom line. Okay. So instead of essentially 46 in the red, you're going to end up, 11 in the black?
In the black, yes, I believe.
Okay.
So.
All right. Thank you.
And Arpal, in the entire time I've been here, I was told that was the rule. Do not go old when budgeting for the next year. Do not increase it by more than 10%. So what did you heard before? Because like I say, people would budget and say, oh, we're going to do $1 million in revenue and wouldn't even get anywhere close to that. But that's the way they would balance the budget to keep staff, you know.
Oh, I remember that sort of thing. Yes, I'm very familiar with that. yes, in terms of budgets, I remember back in the 80s and 90s, the strict thing was proven last year. That's it. You can't go past proven. And then it got, you know, a little different. And in the past number of years, it's been, interesting. And things have gone in all sorts of directions. So that's what I was referencing there.
All right.
Okay. Are you done, Arpal?
I'm done.
Dr. Kamau, I'm sorry. Right now we're going to Susan, then McFadden, then Kamau. Susan?
Yeah, okay. I'm seeking advice from the NFC about where we go from here. So we have two adjustments that we've identified here. One is what we've shown as a credit is actually a payment, so we need to make that adjustment. And then we're grateful to have Chris Corey and everybody's knowledge about how we can adjust our central services. So I imagine that what we need to do is to rely on Markeisha to make those adjustments, report to the NFC, to our own finance committee. Maybe do we need to adopt an amended budget at the local level?
No, we can just do that here.
It's all I have to say is thank heavens. and I know that Sean and Sandy and Markeisha and I are grateful for that. Dan, one of the things that I had been really uncomfortable about earlier this year was that out of the NSC, we were recommending the adoption of deficit budgets. And I wanted for us to not do that, for us to essentially send forward cash flow projections, our best, possibility of that. But not to adopt deficit budgets because that's out of conformance with the with the bylaws, but I am thrilled that our KPFT budget is balanced and appears to be based in some considerable reality.
Right.
We hope to be able to do better, but I'd like for us to get to adopting this budget with the adjustments and sending it forward.
Thank you, Susan. McFadden.
Kim to the stack on that point.
That's Kim. Okay, go ahead. If you're right on that point, go ahead.
Well, it is my opinion that we cannot really determine what the central services will be until we have looked at the national office budget. We don't know, you have a formula of 15% of blah, 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 but we need to get what the national office needs first and then work backwards and see where that money is going to come from. You know, a formula that's not based on any real numbers just doesn't mean anything to me. I mean, I think this is a good budget, but I would like to kind of put them all aside until we've done the P&O first and then go back and really look at the central services. So that's where I'm at.
I will just respond very briefly to that and say that we are doing just that, Kim. We have not sent any budgets yet on to the PMB. We're awaiting the national office budget and then come up with a central services formula and then do a final tune up to all of these budgets. But we're going to proceed with, you know, doing the bulk of the work on them as we go. And hopefully the national office budget will be forthcoming fairly soon. And then we'll be on track and we'll do them. We'll send them all to the PMB.
Right. Okay. I was just responding to Susan saying, let's pass it on. Let's move it forward. Right. And I'm just saying, no, let's set it aside until we do the national office, which, you know, we could do that possibly at our next meeting.
Well, what we have been doing so far, I don't want to go too far into this dialogue. We can do this after the guests are leave. But what we've been doing is provisionally passing these budgets, approving them, recommending them to the PMB, and then just not sending them until we get the numbers to plug in for the national office budget, you know, and then we'll have the central services formula. So effectively, that is what we're doing. And I don't want to keep doing that. I've been asking, you know, the executive director on a fairly regular basis, you know, how are we doing with the national office budget? She's working on it. And so I hope to have it fairly soon.
Well, I'm effectively contradicting you, Jim. I'm saying let's not pass it on to the PNB. And, you know, we don't need to approve it until we've done that. So I'm disagreeing with this procedure.
As I said before, hold on. As I said before, we can discuss this after the guests are gone, and we don't have to take up their time listening to this. And we've interrupted the stack to have this dialogue, and I don't want to continue it anymore. We'll do it after we finish asking questions about the budget and allow these good people to go back to their personal affairs at this time of night. So we'll cross that bridge later. So I did hear somebody asking to be recognized. Who was that?
Put me at the end of the stack. I think there's McFadden and then Kamau.
Susan. They have McFadden, Kamau, and then Kim again, and then Susan. So let's go to McFadden.
A couple of quick comments. I just want to compliment you to get the actuals in for September, only 11 days after September. That's great. Thank you for doing that. It says actuals there. And since there's a couple of corrections to this budget that can be done on the fly, well, I assume we'll be sent a new one. Somebody will make a couple of number changes in the spreadsheet and send us these with these changes. And yes. that's a question. So I assume that's going to happen the next hour or day or something like that. And then I'm actually going to disagree with Kim. I think, you know, holding up this whole process, the whole point about these budgets is to have some kind of template so you can track things to see if you're, you know, and so there's errors that are going to be throughout here. You can't, you know, so if P&O is 20% instead of, 15%, that's a 5% error. The revenues, is, you know, are guesses way more than, with much, much bigger errors than that. And so holding up the whole process of, you know, because you want to have a precise number in P&O, I think doesn't make any sense. But a lot of these other numbers are just projections and guesses that also have their errors associated with them. So, you know, put in the number that's sort of the best guess for central services. We can adjust it later as the year goes on if those numbers are better qualified, but they don't have to be done at this time. That just seems silly when there's errors that are much larger in other items in this budget. That's all.
Okay, James, did you have another comment? I really wanted to postpone that conversation till after we get through the stack and we get done looking at this budget. Okay, good.
I'm done with that.
All right, so we'll take any further comments on that subject matter after we're done with our guests. Kamau.
Yes, it's not really a question, but being new to the process, could somebody share with me this standard template with the backup schedule supporting this front face document we're looking at? I don't have anything like that in my possession.
Right, we've asked that be shared. Yeah. We've asked that be shared with the entire committee, so I'm hoping that Markeisha can send that on to the committee.
Yes, great. I can do thank that. You.
That's and it. Since thank that you. Will have salary information, I want to caution everybody that, you know, that should only be discussed in executive session. And also for the new member here, Kamau, we're going to have to talk about confidentiality agreements. We have a PND generated confidentiality agreement and consent to use electronic transmissions forms that you'll need to sign before you get those documents.
Not a problem.
It's just a promise to not disclose things.
Yep.
Thank you. Okay. That brings us back to Kim.
Well, I don't have any more questions on the budget. And, I mean, I think Sandy and Markeisha are on top of watching, you know, what they're doing. And they don't need us to, you know, do anything really.
Okay.
So, I mean, I you know, you don't want to discuss the other stuff, so I'm waiting until we get back to what we're going to do. So I'm fine with their budget. You know, it's as good as it's going to get for the moment. And basically, we're just in such a, you know, day-by-day monitoring the cash flow that, you know, a budget isn't that really urgent at this point. We're kind of, you know, day-to-day cash flow, period. And I think Sandy and Markeisha are certainly on top of, you know, what's going on and you know, monitoring the revenue. And, I mean, you know, I never heard this no more than 10% rule because, boy, have I ever seen that abused many times. You know, at my station, I could never even rationalize a 10% increase because, you know, the trajectory has been downwards kind of ever since, you know, I've been here. But I do think that the T is really in a position to really be optimistic about getting back listeners and increasing their revenue and their listenership. So that's it. Thanks.
Thank you, Kim. Susan.
Yeah, I really just wanted to add a clarification that I wasn't recommending approval. I was asking about process, what the process is. And so the conversation you've proposed for us to have after our guests leave is one I'm very interested in.
Good. Okay. Chris, you had some comments you wanted to make about the general situation. Do you want to make them now while Marquise is still with us?
Yes, I just have one general question to ask. So now that Netta is no longer doing our accounting for us, I'm assuming that we're reverting, and I've actually heard this before. I'm just looking for verification. Actually, maybe I can rephrase the question slightly because of that. I understand that we're reverting to Great Plains at this juncture. How many stations have adopted that at this juncture?
I don't quite understand the question because Great Plains is the accounting system for Pacifica.
Okay, let me phrase it a different way. So Netta was using a different accounting system than Great Plains. In fact, they complained about it consistently during their entire tenure because they didn't talk to the accounting system that they were using. So they had to move the numbers over from one system to the other. They had another additional complaint about Great Plains, which I won't bother bringing up right now, but I'll bring up at some later juncture. But my question to you is simply this. During the time that they were there, they pointed out that I believe they said that two or three stations were, but not all of them. And in other words, that they were just able to use their accounting system for a couple of the stations, and that they had to move numbers over from Great Plains for the other two or three stations. Is it your understanding that all stations are using Great Plains at this juncture or are heading in that direction?
It is my understanding that we've always used Great Plains. Yes, they use their own system, but they also had to make sure that everything from all the other stations was entered into Great Plains in order to run our reports. The auditors would have never accepted reports for one business from two different systems, if that makes sense.
I understand that. And so my understanding was that all the numbers were moved over into Netta's system. So if that's not your understanding,
not how,
I'd like to hear that as well.
Yeah,
okay.
That's not how. No. Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, in fact, it was all moved back to Great Plains. Is that right, Marquisha?
It was done monthly in Great Plains. It was never, I mean, they may have done some reporting in their own system, but they still were inputting everything from W, I, and K into Great Plains every month.
Yeah.
Okay.
And their system was
you.
The Mass 500, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I appreciate that, actually. Yeah, that was one of the, I was worried about that, so thank you. I appreciate you clarifying.
So it was basically they were doing double entry, is basically what
Correct.
They were doing.
Correct. I got that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I heard
Kim.
Go ahead, Kim.
Well, I think there was an issue with one station using QuickBooks. That was the issue.
Well, that doesn't, I mean, there still was, I mean, he does that for his own personal records, but the information was still being sent to Netta for them to enter into Great Plains.
Right, but I think that the goal is to have it entered in GP at the station level. You know what I mean?
Right, and that's what we get.
Yes, if you have a qualified person, yes.
Right. All right, thank you.
But as we know, there hasn't been a business manager in New York since 2012, maybe?
Yeah.
That sounds right. Okay. Well, I'll ask one more time. Are there any other questions, any other discussion, any questions, especially for Marquisha or Sandy. Actually, I have one question myself. Let me do that. We've been talking about the 10% increase, which has been attributed to being live. And I remember when we were talking about getting the building for KPFT, people were talking about live fundraising almost as if it was a magical thing, and maybe it is, that would increase the revenue. But do we have any, I guess this was already sort of asked and answered, we don't really have any actual proof of that, right? And I understand the gut feeling that people have about that, and it certainly seems intuitive. So I guess, you know, looking back, I'm curious, how long has it been since you've been off the air, and was there ever anything that we could compare that to where the station hasn't been doing live fundraising, you know, in the recent past, and all of a sudden they were off the air for an extended period of time, and then they came back? How long has it been that you've been off the air live before you just got back on recently?
We went live
March 2020.
Okay. Yeah, March, at the end of March 2020, we were off the air, and we returned September 24th. About 30
of
months.
This, yeah, just last month. Yeah.
That's correct. About right. two plus weeks ago.
Right. So that is a long time, and I do expect you to get a boost, and maybe it'll be more than 10%. I hope so. Okay, I just wanted to verify that we don't have any other experience to any actual experience or history to know that. Is there any research in the field that shows that?
Let me comment, okay?
Yeah.
As a programmer, when you approach the studio to do a show, you have your material with you, you have your outline with you, you go do your show. The number of hours it takes, if you have a two-hour show, it's a two-hour show. Three-hour show, it's a three-hour show. One-hour show, that's what it takes. Not so much when you're producing at home. As it turns out, presenting your show from home takes, anywhere from 5-6 times longer than it does just to stroll down the studio and play your music and go on the air and do your thing. There's all kinds of considerations to make sure that you're within time constraints, aka 58-minute hour. There's all kinds of considerations when you are from home and you're listening to your playback in terms of editing. And so you become more perfect if you're a good editor. There's a lot of charm that's taken out of doing community media when that happens. Mm-hmm. And I can also tell you that our biggest fundraiser, our biggest draw, Rourke Smith, who I mentioned before, was doing the order of, $2,000 to $3,000 a day pretty reliably before COVID hit. He cannot produce from home one show, two shows a week, maybe. He tried. It's just too time-consuming. So just the mere fact that there's a studio space to broadcast live from gets him back and others back in a position where they can work efficiently, work quicker, provide more on-air content, and fund better. So that in and of itself is a big driver. Is there data? I guess we'll find out after a couple drives. But I'm encouraged. We made our August goal, albeit a modest goal of $50,000 on our summer sizzle, but we exceeded it. We made $55,000. We did it in a 14-day period. The drive prior went mostly all month and raised $44,000. So more than twice the time, maybe 90% of the result. In other words, 2 weeks we did what we did in 4 weeks plus another 10%. So
yeah, you just
again,
anticipated my next question, which was going to be, are you seeing the snapback? And that's, you're describing it. So that's really, that's good news. I'm glad to hear.
Well, that wasn't live, the August drive. That was also canned. But the difference was we were driving the drive. We were thanking people in real time by taking advantage of things in the automation system that were never used by prior management, prior programming people. So we got in there. We were able to do these things and social media, played a big part too. We have a social media team that's driving the drive. Very important. So you bring these elements together. Again, I'm very hopeful of outfunding our expectations. However, let's just start with meeting the expectation. And we're starting with this October drive with a $150,000 ask. We have about another $106,000 to go at this point. But we've got the rest of the month to get there, so hopefully we will. That would be a real big step forward for us. We have not even collected $100,000 on any given fund drive in over a couple of years. So making that milestone would be welcomed in and of itself. But why settle for two-thirds when you need all of it? I hope that helps. I think going large represents to the listener a much more endearing, much warmer way to deliver our content. And I've already seen, I think I said before, I've already seen a big difference in shows being done live and their funding levels and those that are being sent in and the expected funding levels not quite being there. It should be more. So we got to get our programmers back in the studio. You know, come on back to work. Come on. You know, pretty soon we'll have a coffee pot. We'll have free coffee again. Who knows?
That's good wages. All right. I'm going to just take a chance here and ask one more time. Are there any other questions?
No, but I would like to move to extend for 15 since we're basically out of time.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. But I'm going to let these good people go home unless anybody objects. And I'm going to thank both Markeisha and Sandy for excellent presentations.
Thank you, Sandy.
And I want to thank everybody on this committee for the hard work that they do. I mean, this is the trenches. You guys are doing it. So thank you very much.
And you had a nice surprise here, too, right? You thought it was a deficit, but it's not. Thank you, Chris.
No, we got to live up to that, too.
It's all good. All right. Well, let's say goodnight then. Thank you, Markeisha. Thank you, Sandy. Fred, you can take care of disconnecting. By the way, you're both welcome to stay for the rest of the meeting if you wish. But I don't.
I got to get up early. It's still fun drive.
Yeah.
No worries.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Good night, all. Be well. Bye-bye.
Good
night.
James, Fred here. Do you want me to cut the stream? Yeah. Are you going to the executive session?
No. We don't have an executive scheduled for tonight, Fred. So what we're going to do is just continue with the agenda. Actually, though, I see we're at time, so Chris moved to extend. Let's just work on that for now. Chris wanted to extend for 15. Is there any objection? Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, so we'll extend for 15. And I have to get off of the KPFT budget and go back to the agenda, see where we are. So before we get off of this item, let's have that conversation about, you know, should we do what we've done with basically the KPFK budget and the PAN budget and vote to approve this for the PNB pending getting the national office budget and the central services formula factored in. So let's have at that conversation we were trying to have before. Anybody want to stack on that?
Chris for the stack.
Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. I would argue that this is already settled policy in that, you know, we do have an actual existing formula. Regardless of what the national office budget is, that is the existing formula at this time. It would give certain stations a break, and it would adversely impact, I believe, KPFA. But I would also add one thing, and that's that wasn't just an arbitrary number. That 15% was actually the budget back in when the first formula was adopted. It was also 15% with certain concessions to certain stations. Now, we can argue about what the P&O budget will be, but the P&O budget last year, I just sent it around, was $1.2 million. And 15% of our projected revenues for the year is going to be closer to $1.4 million. If stations could actually make their payments, the national office would certainly be in surplus, as it was for many, many years prior to our recent problems. You know, this argument tends to go round and around and around, and where it ends up landing is that about half the people say, well, people aren't going to pay the national office anyway. You know, central services aren't going to get patients. That's a lousy place to land. And therefore, you know, all of it's meaningless. It's kind of like the argument that's made about, you know, laws applying to people who are going to break them. You know, it's kind of a stupid argument to say that, you know, we shouldn't have a formula because, you know, stations are just going to violate that formula anyway. So I reject that argument. We should have a formula and then hold the stations to it. That's what we should do. And we've never really done that. I will admit that we never really have. Some stations have done it just because they do it, and other stations have not done it just because they don't. But that's not the way we should run things. We should definitely obligate stations to meet that obligation for the sake of the entire network. And if they can't meet that obligation, they should get their ducks in order. You know, it's a weird of thinking that, you know, simply because a station can't do it or because they're underperforming, that they should just waive those obligations. That doesn't make any sense to me either. And that, you know, we should revise the obligations to match that. That doesn't make sense either. You know, you show up to work and you pay your taxes and you don't ask the federal government to not charge you taxes because, you know, you can't afford them. If you don't owe taxes, you don't owe taxes. But this is effectively a tax, and it should be proportional, and that's the fairest way to do it. And I think 15% is completely justified with a long history, and I think we can adjust the national office budget to match that 15%. But I think that if every station were able to actually meet that obligation, that the national office would be just fine. So I think we should just put this quickly to bed and get on with the station budgets with that in mind, rather than playing games with this number like we've been doing for I don't know how many years, as long as I've been around. So that's my opinion. It's way more than 2 cents worth, but there you have it.
This is Kim. That's a pretty cool opinion. Go ahead, Kim.
Well, I'm going to argue the opposite. I'm not comfortable with until I've seen the national office budget, and whatever you think should happen, whatever anyone thinks should happen, KPFK is not going to be able to pay, period, end of story. I don't know what magic wand anybody has that will make KPFK solvent or in better shape than it is now. So my vote would be to wait until we've reviewed the national office budget, number one. And number two, I really think that all of these budgets should be brought to the PNB as a package. I mean, I heard the PNB just approving these last year with like 5 minutes. No discussion, no questions, no curiosity at all. And I think the PNB really needs to have a real discussion about what they're going to be getting as budgets. So that's my opinion.
I'm going to comment quickly that I think in the last two speakers, we've seen the dilemma that's caused a lot of the round and around we go over the years, and it's something that Anita Sims once suggested, you know, if you know certain stations aren't going to be able to make their central services payments, you know, you should not just budget for them as if by some magic they're just going to do it all of a sudden. You should have some realistic way to adjust the formula. And we made an attempt at that, which was, again, never implemented, but we did make that attempt by, for example, giving KPFK a credit for the air conditioning that they pay for the archives to be stored there. And we gave a credit to stations that paid rent. And then it was suggested, well, stations that pay taxes should get a credit. And I think that's a reasonable argument. So Chris said it's essentially a tax, and I think he's right. It is essentially a tax. But in a tax system, you have adjustments to make. You make adjustments for people according to their circumstances. It gives them deductions, exemptions, or whatever you want to call it. For example, you know, I'll just use WBI as an example. They have extremely high tower rent in New York City, and that's kind of an unavoidable thing. Other stations, some also have high tower expenses, but not that high, and others don't have high tower expenses at all. And then there's the example of PFW that has a very high rent. So I think what we did last time was an attempt to make an equilibrium between these two ways of looking at it that adjusted for reality. And I think maybe we should continue with that, should continue with what was not implemented that we passed in the past previously, and perhaps tweak it a little bit more, but basically go in that direction. That's my thinking. Anybody else?
This is Kim, but maybe somebody else.
Let me take
a
step. I'm going to get Kim.
I just say put me on, Kim. Somebody else wants to speak.
Yeah. Thank you. That's what I was trying to say. So I'm going to. I got Kim. Who else? Our Paul.
Yeah.
So, okay. Anybody else?
I'll get back on the stack as well, James.
Chris. Okay. Got it. Let's let our Paul go first, as you know, he hasn't spoken on this. And then Kim.
Okay. All right. Yes. I agree with what Kim said about, you know, let's not make believe. We said, yes, we will have a rule and everybody will pay this. And then there's no money there. Now, you know, you can argue about you should, you shouldn't, this, that. But the thing is, if you have a budget and you've got it in front of you, and I've used this argument, I remember years ago at PAI when people were plugging numbers in from outer space. If you have a budget that says you're going to spend $1 million over the year, you're going to spend that $1 million. If you have a revenue that balances it and says you're going to get $1 million in revenue, well, you'll try. But if you don't, you're probably still going to have to spend your $1 million. And I say have to because in some cases you have to, like tower rent, studio rent, this stuff. You know, you can't not do that. Electrical, all of this stuff that is absolutely mandatory, fixed expenses you can't get out of. So if you start budgeting to say, yes, we're going to be strict, and so the national office is going to get X amount because, you know, it's going to get these five pieces, and we know what each station's piece is going to be. And then one, maybe two, stations don't chip in the full piece. The national office is probably going to be spending its money and then say, gee, it's July and there's no money at all. Uh-oh. So that's the other side of this problem is, yeah, you can say, yes, you must do this. Okay, it isn't done. Now what? Now you've got what we have. You've got, on the one hand, the national office or even a station not being able to do all the expenses, whether fixed or optional, that it was planning to do, and also on top of that, you've got recrimination and a lot of bad feeling and, you know, stuff going on that is hardly productive for anybody. So it's very hard to do. The bottom line here is the stations should be able to make money, and mostly they're not. I mean, you know, we looked in September, it was brought up that there was over $800,000 in stuff that needed to be paid by Pacifica in the course of 3 weeks, and the stations that were going to have to cough up that dough had about $61,000 in cash on hand. You know, so that ain't going to work. And that's the kind of thing we run into. And the big bottom line is we need to make more money. This finagling with, oh, let them not pay as much or let them pay more or whatever. I don't know. The bottom line here is if you're going to budget it, make it real. Don't make it so that I wish we would get this and cross your fingers. You know, if you want to go by past performance, proven performance, include it that way. What was this central services payments last year? Well, don't expect a lot more than that this year. So that's what I have to say. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, R. Paul. Kim.
Come out of the stack.
Gotcha.
Chris to the stack.
Let's
your echo, Kim.
No, let Kamau go, because I want to look up something before.
Kamau, do you want to go before? You haven't spoken.
Not
we
a problem.
We need to extend again, Jim. Jim, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
we need to extend again. We need to extend.
Okay. Thank you. Go ahead. Make a motion.
I'll go for 10 this time. See if we can do it in 10.
Okay. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none. Good. Thank you, Chris.
So on this particular point, and I tend to agree with the last comment, past performance of, you know, the parent organization should then become a placeholder for the subsidiary stations in their budget, whatever that was required of the parent in the prior year would then become a placeholder within the stations. Would simultaneously work out budgets on both levels, come to some finalization, and at the end, whatever is needed at the parent, it could be a credit, it could be an additional charge. But I don't think you can kind of wait around, given the time frame, to have everyone complete on one side or the other, and then somehow kind of come to a final number. Some of this stuff just has to be done as a placeholder initially amongst the stations, and then, of course, credits or additional charges applied afterwards. So that's just my opinion.
Thank you, Kamau. Chris.
No, it was Kim.
No, Kim. Sorry, yeah, Kim.
Okay. First of all, KPFK's daily average so far in this drive for a week is $3,600. Okay? We were budgeting this year at $5,500. Okay, so, you know, this is going to be a problem, number one. Number two, okay, so New York has to pay tower rent, but they don't pay, or they pay a tiny amount in utilities. We pay a tower rent, you know, which is what it is, but we have $110,000 worth of electricity to juice that thing. So, you know, it's not really equal, these kinds of things. Yeah, you got to pay rent in New York, but we got to pay maintenance on the building. So, you know, these are, you know, you have to really get granular in order to make these kinds of, like, dispensations, in my opinion. I don't think they're quite fair yet. Number three, whatever your calculations about the central services, KPFK never got any kind of discount for years on PRA, so we've been paying the same amount except for when we're not paying it because we can't pay any of it. So these are all very funny numbers, number one. And, well, number four, five, whatever. And another little thing here. A couple of months ago, Julia texted me and said, do you know why WBAI is paying whatever percentage it was less in central services than everybody else? And I said, yes, as a matter of fact, I do. And somewhere around 2011, it was just sort of like magic wand waving, like, well, let's just make it less because, you know, the tower rent. So I don't know whether that's still ongoing or if she was looking historically, but I think that's the number we need to know to put into the pot as to what's really, really going on with this stuff.
We can answer that question. Prior to the change we made last year, WBI was paying 8% instead of the 15%, and it was specifically because of the cost of doing business in New York and the fact that, you know, they weren't able to make the payments. So we changed that last year, not implemented.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we can go round and round. I mean, I guess, you know, at some point we just need to take a vote. Are we going to wait until we see the national office vote or just push ahead without that? I mean, because that's where we're at right now. So.
Well, what about, you know, I'll come say, I mean, not to just talk out of turn here. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. So first of all, I passed the national office budget around. Hopefully everybody got it. It was basically $1.2 million last year. It was $1.2 million the year before. The $1.44 was the revenue number that was projected, which, of course, didn't happen. I think if we do this adjustment thing indefinitely and try to make it like so that no station feels any pain or that their pains are accommodated, we're not going to have a national office budget. I think that each station has to work within the limitations and confines of its situation to operate gainfully. I mean, that's the best way to move forward as an organization. And I get that WBAI has expensive tower rent. I get that. You know, California has expensive labor costs. California has expensive insurance costs. California has expensive utility costs, expensive taxation. I mean, you can just go down the list and things out until we don't have a budget anymore. I think the fairest thing to do, again, is to and incidentally, if I ever said, you know, hold a gun to stations' heads and have them pay the 15%, that wasn't what I intended to say. What I intended to say is that stations should be aspirational, that they should try to give the 15%, and, you know, that should be their objective as a station, is to be able to afford that so that the network as a whole can operate gainfully and so that we actually have some reserves in the national office so that when some idiotic lawsuit comes along that we can afford it instead of having to scramble around and, you know, mortgage buildings or something. You know, it's crazy the way this network operates. It's nuts. We don't plan for the future at all. And, you know, we don't create any reserves for ourselves. As far as KPFK goes, you know, if it can't make its budget, we need to figure out a way to get that station to operate gainfully. If it can't operate gainfully, we turn it into a repeater station. I don't know what you do, but, you know, it's not fair to have the entire network dragged down by one of the divisions. It's just not. It's not fair to all the other stations. It's just, period, not fair. So we can adjust our way to hell on this. We absolutely can. And I would strongly urge everyone not to do that. I understand that there's kind of an instinctive motivation within each individual branch to do that. I just think it's a terrible practice. As far as now what is concerned, that question was asked. Now what? Well, what is that, you know, if stations aren't operating gainfully, we need to figure out how to get them operating gainfully, period. You know, there's a number of different ways of doing that. Some are incredibly painful and ugly and make everybody unhappy. And some ways, you know, if they work out, everybody's happy. We haven't been able to come up with the happy ways in the last 5 years. There have been no happy ways. Maybe Texas will be an example of the happy way forward. Actually, I should say that PSW has gone from a situation of being like one of the biggest bleeders in the network to basically breaking even to being slightly ahead. You know, that's great. That's wonderful. So there's an example. Take what they did there and franchise it. We're out of time. I've used up the end of the 10 minutes here. If we want to go on, I move for another 5. Thanks.
Okay. I don't think we're going to solve the question tonight of whether we just do a flat tax, so to speak, or whether we have deductions for certain items tonight. But I would like to, you know, since we've got this budget review fresh in our heads, I would like to take a stab at agreeing that we're okay with this Texas budget. And that, so I'm going to move that we approve the, we recommend to the, that the, we have a motion that says the NFC recommends to the PNB that they approve the KPFT budget pending adjustments for central services, and that's it. Pending adjustments for central services.
There was another item there, James, and that was the there's some sort of a credit that they're showing in there, deletion of credit, I guess.
Yeah, that's correct. Pending those those adjustments, the deletion of credit, and there was another one, wasn't there?
There might have been a third one, actually. Yeah, I can't think of it right now.
Okay. So pending the
you could just say pending adjustments, James. Just leave it
pending
open.
Adjustments. It couldn't. Yep. Okay.
Point of
so before you say that, Mac or McFadden.
Point of information.
Let me. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I just wanted to know this credit that Chris just mentioned. Can somebody just point me to the line on the – I just wanted to make sure I had it in
line,
my notes.
Line 43. Line 43, James.
Thank you.
43. And it was
could
a,
I,
yeah.
Could I say what I have for the motion?
Yes, please. I was just going to ask you that. Go ahead.
All right. That the NFC recommend to the PNB that they approve the KPFT FY23 budget pending adjustments.
Kind of vague, but why don't we put the pending adjustments first? So it's like a provisional approval, and then the adjustments will come to us before we then move it on. So pending the adjustment.
Okay,
James,
so do you mind if we add
specified adjustments in there? Just
no,
so
I wish we would. I wish we would. Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
So, okay. Specify. One second. So, you want to make it read that the NFC recommend to the PNB that pending specified adjustments, they approve the KPFT FY23 budget, right?
I was going to say, Paul, if we put the phrase pending specified adjustments, the PNB recommends, the NFC recommends to the PNB,
oh,
et cetera.
Okay, that pending specified adjustments, the NFC, et cetera, right?
Right, so then the adjustments will come to us, then we'll remove the pending clause and we'll send it on. So we don't have to go through this again.
So the motion is now that pending specified adjustments, the NFC recommends to the PNB that they approve the KPFT FY23 budget.
Yes. Right? Yes, and now, Chris, were you going to try and specify the adjustments? One was the credit adjustment on line 43.
No. What we can for our own purposes, James. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes.
Yeah. So
I was suggesting we put it in the motion, but that's okay. Let's do it for our own purposes.
Let's just leave it out.
So it's line 43, and what was the other one? Does anybody recall?
The central services formula.
Central services, yeah.
And I thought there was a third one, too, but I might be wrong. I might be wrong. I'm getting tired.
Me too.
Okay, so this is a motion on the floor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've run out of time.
Any discussion? So I think we're out of time for discussion. Is there any objection?
Yes.
Okay. Kim objects, so we'll need to call the roll, our Paul.
Okay, hold on one second here while I put this in. And okay, so what we're voting on is a motion that says pending specified adjustments, the NFC recommends to the PNB that they approve the KPFT FY23 budget. And one second, I have to adjust something here. And okay. All right. Please answer up when you hear your name. Chris Corey.
I was going to stay here. yes.
That's a yes. Elizabeth Von Gunten.
Yeah, I'm still here.
No. Yes. We're voting on a motion.
Yes.
Okay. Kamau Harris.
Yes.
Julie Hewitt.
Here, yes.
Kim Kaufman.
No.
Oh, okay. R. Paul Martin, yes. James McFadden.
Yes.
Sean Kelly McPherson.
Yes.
James Sagerton.
Yes.
Susan Young.
Yes.
Okay. Is there anybody I missed? Oh, okay.
No, that's 10. That's 10. That's all.
Yeah,
we have.
I know. Okay, we have. All right. I didn't adjust a thing here. Okay, so one more. Okay, that's 9-4, 1 against.
Okay. So that's done, and unfortunately we are out of time, and we did not get to the other items. Apologies to Stephanie, you're still with us.
No problem.
Onward and upward next time. And Stephanie, next time, can we do those financials?
Yes, no problem.
Great. And maybe, can you just tell us, where are we with the national budget? I mean, are you working with Markeisha on that?
Yeah, I mean, in the national budget itself, I mean, it's an easy, fairly simple to put together based upon the actuals from last year. So that's ready to go. Mm-hmm. And I've been working with the archives as well. What we're looking at is, you know, again, if there were adjustments, I mean, I can make it a separate column that's just dealing with 15% across the board. and were there any adjustments with the central services that were to be paid to the archives? They're also placing in a, you know, where we've added other revenue streams because the business model of just working off of central services is not going to work for the archives.
Yeah.
You know, so one can arbitrarily just make a budget based upon, you know, oh, this is what people are supposed to be paying. But I, you know, completely agree that we have to look at these budgets on a regular basis and adjust them well in advance, not just approve them and put them in a drawer. You know, so to date, we have over $900,000 in unpaid National Office Central Services and $137,000 in unpaid archives central services.
Yep.
So, you know, budgets obviously will need to be adjusted. And when we continue to just do central service credits, it's just moving magic money because the national office pays in advance for health benefits and pays in advance for payroll and covers insurance costs and pays for a lot of things that if we just continue to fund the national office with credits and numbers that are just moving from one line item to another, you know, it's not real money.
They don't take magic money, do they?
I also just need that it, yeah, I also agree that it just needs to be flat across the board. We can't sit there and start pinpointing, you know, oh, well, I have rent that's too expensive. Well, that's part of your expenses, and you need to adjust with that with your revenue because everybody has something that another city doesn't that could be taken into consideration. But I can create, you know, I will add a column to the budget that's just 15% across the board based upon the actuals, end of year actuals, of what each station actually brought in. And then we could do 15% across that.
Hmm. Okay. Do you think we can do that on the 25th?
Yeah, no problem.
Good. Let's do that. Do you think we should try to hit the archives on the same date, or is that too much?
Yeah, no, because they're pretty much almost all we're pretty much almost done with that. But the key is, too, are there adjustments that were to be made to the central services, the archives, with the 15% across the board include archival central services?
Actually, I can comment on that. I can comment on that if you don't mind, James.
No, go ahead.
We never actually got to the PRA formula. So that PRA formula is like 13 years old. If we want to revisit that, we probably should. You know,
okay.
I don't have a good feel for that one at all. And I've just been blithely ignoring it because the national office was a way more crucial issue. Just to the functioning of the organization, it just made sense to prioritize it. Anyway, I think we should definitely come back and review the formula for the PRA.
Okay,
but for now we're stuck with a 13-year-old formula. Yeah, so you'll just have to use the numbers that are there, I think, for now.
No problem.
Okay, on that note, we'll see you all on the 25th.
Okay.